Acts chapter 27. Now when it had been decided that we should sail to Italy, they handed Paul and some other prisoners over to a centurion by the name of Julius, of the Augustan cohort. So we embarked on an Adramyttian ship, intending to sail to places along the coast of Asia. And we put out to sea, there being Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, with us. On the next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul in a kindly way, and he permitted him to go to his friends to receive their care. And from there we put out to sea and sailed in the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the high sea off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we put in at Myra in Lycia. And there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he had us embark on it. And after we had been sailing slowly for several days, and had hardly reached being opposite Cnidus, the wind not allowing us to proceed, we sailed in the lee of Crete, passing opposite Salmone. Then sailing past it with difficulty, we came to a certain place called Fair Havens, which the town of Lasea was near to. After a considerable time had elapsed, and sailing was already dangerous, considering even the fast had already passed, Paul gave some advice, and he said to them, "Men, I see that the voyage is going to be with damage and much loss, not only to the cargo and the ship, but also to our lives." But the centurion was more persuaded by the captain and the shipowner than by the things said by Paul. And as the port was unsuitable for wintering, the majority took a decision to put out to sea, and from there to reach, if they possibly could, Phoenice, to winter there, a port in Crete facing southwest and northwest. And as a south wind was blowing gently, and thinking that they had secured their objective, they weighed anchor and sailed very close to Crete. But not long afterwards, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon swept against it. As the ship was caught up and not able to make headway against the wind, we gave up and allowed ourselves to be carried along. And when we had run into the lee of a small island called Clauda, we were barely able to keep control of the tender. And they hoisted it aboard, and applied reinforcements by undergirding the ship. And being afraid that they would run aground in the Syrtis, they lowered the tackling and were carried along like that. And on the next day, when we were severely tossed by the storm, they jettisoned some cargo. And on the third day, we cast the ship's tackling overboard with our own hands. And since neither the sun nor the stars were visible for many days, with a not inconsiderable storm raging, from that time all hope of us being saved was lost. And after much abstinence from food, Paul then stood up in with them and said, "Men, you should have done what I said by not putting out to sea from Crete and running up this damage and loss. And as for the present situation, I exhort you to be in good spirits, for there will be no loss of life among you except for the ship. For the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me this night, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And look, God has kindly given you all those who are sailing with you. So, men, be in good spirits, for I believe God that it will be so, just as it was spoken to me. And we must run aground at a certain island.' And when it was the 14th night of us being driven about in the Adriatic, at about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were approaching land. And when they took soundings, they found the depth to be 20 fathoms. And after leaving a short interval, when they took soundings again, they found the depth to be 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run up against rocky places, they cast 4 anchors from the stern, and they prayed for day to come. But when the sailors tried to abandon the ship, and had lowered the tender into the sea, under pretext of being about to stretch out anchor lines from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men remain in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut the cords of the tender free and let it drop. Then, while day was on the point of breaking, Paul encouraged everyone to partake of food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have been without food, waiting in suspense, not taking any, So I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your salvation. For not a hair from anyone will fall from his head. And when he had said these things, he took bread and thanked God in the presence of everyone, and broke it and began to eat. Then they all became cheerful, and they took food themselves too. Now there were 276 of us in the ship in all. And when they had had their fill of food, they lightened the ship by jettisoning the corn into the sea. And when day had come, they did not recognise the land, but they noticed a certain bay, which had a beach, on which they resolved to drive the ship ashore, if possible. And they slipped anchors and committed everything to the sea, while at the same time they loosened the connections to the rudders, and hoisted the foresail to the prevailing wind, and brought the ship to the beach. So they were wrecked at a place with sea on two sides, and they ran the ship aground, and the prow became stuck and remained motionless. But the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. Then a decision was made by the soldiers to kill the prisoners in case anyone should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, prevented them from carrying out their intention and ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land, then the remainder, some on planks, others on various parts of the ship. And in this way it so happened that all came safely through onto land.